Kırım Betena Yodhina Mayar Pitaya Chabakya Mam Pratyag Atmanam Iha Varunde. Translation. Thus, by not engaging in the service of the most material nature, but by developing Krishna consciousness, knowledge in renunciation, and by practicing yoga, in which the mind is always fixed in devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one achieves my association in this very life. For I am the Supreme Personality, the Absolute Truth. Please repeat. Thus. Which means we're referring to the previous verses. And he's giving some process. He's giving the glories of devotional service and the different characteristics of that process and so on. So here's kind of the result. Thus, by not engaging in the service...
Thus, by not engaging in the service...
Of the modes of material nature... But by developing Krishna consciousness... Here's kind of like in a positive, knowledge and renunciation. And by practicing yoga. In which the mind is always fixed. In devotional service. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we get a whole bunch of conditions here. We've got to get free from serving the material modes. And once we do that, we can develop knowledge in renunciation, which is going to be Krishna consciousness. And also we got to do yoga, right? But that yoga in which we're always, the mind is always fixed in devotional service to God. Jnana Vairagya, and then in yoga and fixing the mind upon Krishna. One achieves my association. In this very life. For I am the Supreme Personality. The Absolute Truth. Okay. Yeah. So, Prabhupada's purport. By the way, the schedule here is so intense. We're working on the Goloka Foundation, the North American Institute for Oriental Classical Studies. It's a 1 week of teacher training, open to almost anybody, but of course, especially for the teachers in the primary school. And then Ram Giridhari and his wife are visiting, so we're also doing work for the Ministry of Education. And they got us giving one class. We're reviewing one chapter every night for Bhakti Bhai Baba to the Bhakti Bhai Baba students. And also I've got to find some time for my sense gratification. Whatever. Yeah. So the only way I could do the PowerPoint show was I tried doing a PowerPoint show for the first time on my cell phone. And with my Hewlett Packard smartphone here. So what you're seeing is pretty much the product of putting it together on a cell phone. And I cleaned it up a little bit on the computer afterwards. But it's quite interesting. You can do a pretty decent job. Okay, the purport says, when one engages in devotional service to the Lord, the nine different kinds of bhakti, as enunciated in authoritative scriptures, such as hearing, shravanam, chanting, kirtanam, remembering, offering worship, praying, and offering personal service, either in one of them, or two, or three, or all of them, he naturally has no opportunity to engage in the service of the three modes of material nature. So right away, I've heard that one time Prabhupada asked, so you think I have no sex desire? And the devotee said, yes. And Prabhupada said, I have sex desire. He said, but I don't have any time to do anything about it. So this is the whole kind of secret, you know, how to get ourselves filled up all the time with different kind of service. which is practical engagement for the senses. The nine processes are here as a simple definition, very common definition of what is bhakti we're talking about. Of course, it begins with hearing, and once you hear properly, then you can actually then chant what you repeat what you're talking heard. And if you do that properly, expressing it properly, then it's very easy to start, understanding it, contemplating it like that. Yeah? And in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada talks about being fully engaged in devotional service, and the way he defines it as worshiping the deity. Because at that point, we're chanting, at that point, there's a whole process of, from 4 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, there's service to the deity with cooking, offering arati, bathing, dressing, and then also then there's shravanam kirtanam. There's a whole definite program of hearing and chanting for the deity. Then, cleaning the deity's temple, maintaining it, receiving guests, going out and buying things. So practically speaking, it's very easy to concentrate ourselves 24 hours a day in the service of the deity. And so it's very kind that Srila Prabhupada has given us this process of deity worship. Unless one has good engagements in spiritual service, it is not possible to get out of the attachment for material service. It's very important. Now, we have to have, I have to have fun things to do or things that I feel satisfied. They're productive. Those who are not devotees, therefore, are interested in so-called humanitarian and philanthropic work, such as opening a hospital or charitable institution. These are undoubtedly good works in the sense that they are pious activities, and the result is the performer may get some opportunities for sense gratification, either in this life or in the next. We're in these evening classes are on it's the fourth canto, and it's finishing off the module about Prithu Maharaj. The fourth canto is Daksha Dhruva Prithu Pracheta. That's the whole fourth canto. DDPP. Fourth canto is DDPP. Of course, the last P can be either Pracheta, Paranjana, or Prachinibharishat. So really, it's DDPPPP. Yes. And so we're finishing off the module about Paranjana. I'm sorry, Pracheta, two chapters, and starting the next ones are the songs sung by Lord Shiva, and I think discussions with Maharaj Prachinibharishat, like that. And so there, probably the Lord Shiva's prayers is talking about how one has to work very hard if he wants to enjoy the material nature. And the result usually is that by you work so hard, by the time you're finished working, you're so exhausted, you have no more energy to enjoy your results of your work. It's so typical that doctors and their wives engaged in the medical industry will go out and leave the big, five-bedroom house with all your different kinds of rooms and beautiful, expensive carpets, expensive furniture, even a tennis court, swimming pool, gardens, four-car garage. And the only person who actually enjoys the house during the daytime is the dog. The dog will be running around sleeping on the couch as everything else. And when you come home, the doctor, God, is so exhausted. All he does is basically sleep, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So this is the first point, is that Prabhupada says that these are undoubtedly good works in the sense that they are pious, and the result is the performer may get some opportunity for sense gratification, either in this life or the next. Devotional service, however, is beyond the boundary of sense gratification. It is completely spiritual activity. When one engages in the spiritual activities of devotional service, naturally he does not get any opportunity to engage in sense gratificatory activities. The senses are supposed to be transparent via media. when I'm writing a letter, I'm concentrating on the what's appearing on the page, but I don't realize it has to go through my shoulder, my biceps, triceps, fingers, everything else like that on the page. So when the senses are being used properly, they're simply transparent by media between the heart and the deity, like that, directing. And when they're not, when there's lust, I mean, the word rhymes with rust. If you've got rust in your pipes, then the fluid flow, you know, will start to drag and will start to build up heat and pressure on the pipes and stuff like that. So as soon as we become lusty, then the senses become the object of worship, you know, rather than the deity. And so then lust starts to develop, and lust, there's pain, there's pressure. And we want to relieve that tension. So then happiness is considered relieving the tension by eating or having sexual relations or by sneezing or evacuating, you know. Or else even just like your hands, the pressure will build up. So then doing something, computer, playing, tennis, whatever. You know? So, you know, in the normal condition, the senses actually disappear. You know? It is completely spiritual activity. When one engages in the spiritual activities of devotional service, naturally does not get any opportunity to engage in sense gratificatory activities. Krishna conscious activities are performed not blindly, but with perfect understanding and knowledge and renunciation. The perfect understanding of knowledge and renunciation. This kind of yoga practice, in which the mind is always fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotion, results in liberation in this very life. The person who performs such acts gets in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya therefore approved the process of hearing from realized devotees about the pastimes of the Lord. So I think what Prabhupada's referring to here, I think, is, and somebody else has another idea, is the conversations with Ramananda Roy, which in the biography of Lord Chaitanya, it describes, you know, in the Krishna book, in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, and the Krishna book, in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, is a biography of Lord Chaitanya, the ideal preacher of Krishna consciousness. And it's talking about Lord Chaitanya's birth and his activities. And he eventually says he met Ramananda Roy, and they discussed this and that. And then they discussed many other topics which are here purposefully withheld because they require a more mature development in devotional service. So right there, I think it's Bhaktivinoda's writing, but in any case, Prabhupada, you know, it's the same thing that the discussions with Ramananda are not made public right at that point. You know? But later they are. You know? So Lord Chaitanya says, tell me the best thing you know. And he's talking about engaging in varna ashram and by trying to please God by that. So you hear many Christian preachers talking about this fact of being a good family person, being a good citizen of your country, being a responsible, you know, steward for the world. And so basically that's their idea. You know, by engaging in varna ashram, you know, you can please God, you know, doing your duties and stuff. So Lord Chaitanya says no, something more. So then Ramananda Roy suggests, you know, taking sannyas, giving up the varna ashram system. And Lord Chaitanya says that's a little risky and it's still material. And he goes to different things, and finally he comes to this one verse, which is from the chapter 14, the prayers by Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says that whatever position you're in society, you know, varna ashram, you know, perspective, then stay there. But as much as you can, hear and then talk about, you know, the glories of the Lord, you know, with association of pure devotees like that. And Lord Chaitanya describes that as the first really transcendental level. Okay? And after that, it goes to higher things like that. Lord Chaitanya therefore approved the process of hearing from realized devotees about the pastimes of the Lord. It does not matter to what category of this world the audience belongs. Okay, there again, that's the same point. If one meekly and submissively hears about the activities of the Lord from a realized soul, he will be able to conquer Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unconquerable by any other process. Hearing or associating with devotees is the most important function for self-realization. So he will be able to conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unconquerable by any other process. So we remember that this reminds us of the prayers by Queen Kunti. And she says, you know, she probably says the whole purpose of Kunti's prayers, of the Devi's prayers, are how to catch Krishna, how to keep him from leaving. You know, he's going to leave Dwarka. So she comes there. She's trying to figure out, like, who Krishna is, and you know what attracts him and what keeps him like that. So she says, some people say that you were, you know, you came because of the precarious position of the earth, Bhumi, like an overloaded boat in the ocean. You know? And some people say you came because you were requested by your great devotee, Lord Brahma. And Krishna's kind of going, And so they go on like that. And then finally she says, and some people say you came to revive the process of hearing and chanting, this and that. And then you might say that Krishna blushes or something. Because, okay, you got me. Yeah. So that's it. You know, Krishna Madhurya Eka, Adbhuta Swabhava, Apane Ashwarite, Krishna Karya Bhakti Bhava. Conjugal love of Krishna is so nice that Krishna himself likes to incarnate, to taste it. So it's the process by engaging in nice Krishna katha. And of course, Prabhupada says that, you know, Yamaraj is a devotee. He loves to be invited to a good kirtan. So as long as devotees are having good kirtans and Yamaraj is there, there'll be no death for anybody. Process of dying will stop. But that's the whole thing. Hearing the pastimes of the Lord and the association of devotees becomes so enlivening. Always remember Jayananda told us that Prabhupada said, if you just go on chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see pastimes you never read in any of my books. So it's expanding. Lila Smarana Swarup, this process of meditating on the pastimes of the Lord, the form of the Lord and his pastimes, is a living entity which is expanding the new ideas and new perspectives like that. You know? You're always kind of thinking, my God, did I read this last time? You know? And I thought I knew. I know Prabhupada's books. But the thing is, they're growing. See, I know your garden. You know? I've seen the mounds out there. Oh, but now there's little sprouts coming out. So that's the reality. And how do we fit into the music? How do we fit into the orchestra? How do we expand our integration with the orchestra? How do we improve our point? And always growing, you know, full of increasing truth, beauty, and substantiality. So this is kind of a presentation here. This is a verse. And if we look, let's look at Vedabase.com. There it is. You know, may notice he's actually opening a new Vedabase.io, you know. He's opening a new version, beta version, which apparently is going to be able to allow for a lot more stuff. Already you can have your own account and stuff. So here we have 327. So take us back to the chapter. Yeah. O most pious mother, I shall now explain unto you the ancient yoga system, which I explained formerly to the great sages. It is serviceable and practical in every way. The stage in which the consciousness of a living entity is attracted by the three modes of material nature is called conditioned life. But when the same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is situated in the Krishna, in the consciousness of liberation. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I, and bodily possessions as mine, one's mind becomes purified. In that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. At that time, the soul can see himself to be the transcendental material existence and always self-effulgence, never fragmented, although very minute in size. we're small, but we're never actually become fragments. We're never separated from Krishna. In that position of self-realization by practice of knowledge and renunciation and devotional service, the same thing again now, like to say almost the same phrase exactly. In that position of self-realization by practice of knowledge and renunciation and devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. It becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. So what is material? When we're in this proper consciousness, we see everything here. And the Prabhupada says the pure devotee lives in this material world quite happily, seeing everything as a reflection of Vaikuntha. So we can play that way. We can set everything up here. And at that point, the modes of material nature, as far as I understand, everything we're seeing is a reflection of something which is actually exists, reflection. But the material nature comes in, that reflection is brought to life because it appears to have a past and a future. And because of that, we think, oh, it's existing, it's changing, whatever. And we think we can manipulate it. And to some degree, we can't. Krishna does allow us to influence it, like a computer game, a virtual reality. So then this thing about hankering and lamenting goes away, and we see the material nature for what it is. And we can either get out of it, or the main purpose here, of course, is sankirtan, preaching. So then we can use the material world to show people that there are real people in the spiritual world, there is real food, there is real furniture, but that the enjoyer is different. Perfection and self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the only auspicious path. Every learned man knows that attachment for material is the greatest entanglement for the spirit soul. The same attachment, when applied to the Supreme Lord, no. When applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. The symptoms of the sadhu, Tatikshiva Karunika, Shuhyadam Sarvadehinam, Ajata Sattvam, something else, Ajata Sattvam, Sadhu Bhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful, and he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Supreme Lord without deviation. That's the real characteristic. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within the world. Engage constantly in chanting and hearing about me, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer the material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such holy men. This counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. Well, that's the trick, no? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. I mentioned we were talking to one very, very nice Sufi, bishop kind of guy. Wasn't very old. And then doing his programs of psychology and the sacred. And I asked him, how important is association of devotees in your Sufi tradition? And I put it in his language, and he was like, shocked, wow, what a good question that guy comes up with. These people are actually, understand the whole process. And he said, it's 100% important. He said, in Sufi tradition, you advance on two legs. One leg is the mercy of God, and the other leg is the association of devotees. So this is the whole process, developing attachment to the saintly people. In the same way, it's giving our association to people. And there's no harm in just being friendly. Well, we've got to do this, Prabhu, we've got to follow that process, we've got to come here, put tilak on, let's go chant. Yeah. There's no harm in being friendly, that's what we're trying to do and stuff, and just becoming relaxed and entering in, of course, into different mellows that the Ashraya Ashraya, that the devotees are an essential part of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The devotees are actually the shelter for love of God. So when we become attached to them, then we have this dynamic relationship with Krishna. Lord Balaram dances with gopis, but not as an enjoyer. He enjoys thinking about how much fun they're going to have dancing with Krishna and playing with Krishna. Guru is not the enjoyer. Guru simply enjoys how with his disciples he's arranging so many opportunities for Krishna to see the puris pop up, to see something new happening that's never happened before. Thus consciously engaged in devotional service in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and in the next. By constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord, this process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. So one is actually situated on that path of devotional service, and he is able to control the mind. This is the verse Prabhupada was lecturing on the day he signed my initiation letter. Remember, the day Prabhupada signed my initiation letter with by Sheshika, other people. This day was dated anyway. The purport that one can actually control the mind by engaging in devotional service. Thus, by not engaging in the service of the material modes of nature, but by developing Krishna consciousness, knowledge, and renunciation, and by practicing yoga in which the mind is always fixed in devotional service under the Supreme Personality of God, I want to choose my association in this very life, for I am the Supreme Personality of the Absolute Truth. It's all one sentence. Wow. This is a Bhaktisiddhanta size sentence. And again, it's just like we call it subdivisions and everything else. If you actually outline this sentence, you see it's a whole like logical structure to it, divisions and everything else. On hearing this statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? So here again, Prabhupada would give some formula in the Charya. He gives a general formula. Start off by coming to the temple and chant Hare Krishna, and hear a lecture. And then take prasadam. And then, okay, you become more progressively involved. You understand how to dovetail your ordinary working activities, your varnashram situation, how to dovetail those with your service to Krishna. So that, maybe that's maybe my second initiation. The beginning is just chant Hare Krishna and take prasad. And then later on, the deity worship comes and other things like that. So she's going to ask, what is the best service to develop? She goes on talking about other things in this yoga system. My dear son Kapila, after all, I am a woman. It is very difficult for me to understand the absolute truth because my intelligence is not very great. But if you will kindly explain it to me, even though I am not very intelligent, I can understand it and therefore feel transcendental happiness, which Maitreya said. After hearing the statement of his mother, Kapila could understand her purpose. He became compassionate towards her because of being born of her body. He described the Sankhya system of philosophy, which is a combination of devotional service and mystic realization as received by the cyclic succession. Of course, when it's describing Maharaj Prithu leaving his body, of course, this echoes the same thing. And he was doing all mystic yoga. He was blocking his anus with the heel of his foot. He was raising the prana up to his yogis, up to the level of his diaphragm, his heart, throat. And finally he left to go to Brahma Loka, the planetary system called Brahma. Hiranyagarbha yogis, there's the Rup bodies, there's the Hiranyagarbha yogis, and there's the Paramatma bodies. They perceive it. There's a great seminal, transcendental golden seminal potency behind all this world that makes it real and makes it so beautiful. Even Nobel laureates, they talk about the beauty involved in all these things. And of course, the atomic bomb is just, how many have just been exploded just for experiencing the grandeur of the whole thing? So we're engaged in all kinds of devotional service by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And then because of that, right, first result is renunciation. What's going on here? Maitreya said, after hearing the statement of his mother born of her body, he described the Sankhya system, which is a combination of devotional service and mystic realization. So even Prithu Maharaj is describing when he left his body, he was doing all this like Astanga Yoga, engaging in the service of Paramatma, Mahavishnu, like that. So far, the Bhagavatam is not getting much beyond Paramatma and Mahavishnu in terms of the devotional service many times. And later, of course, we'll come to Vaikuntha, which is higher than Lila Avatar, which is higher. And then describing sometimes Mathura and Dwarka. What Kapila said, the senses are, now he's going to go into a whole description here, 32 on down like that. It's a pretty big chapter. And I think it's pretty much just continues in the next chapter like that. Same idea, this whole idea of Sankhya, basic idea of general science. Then after that, you can apply it to music, you can apply it to cooking, you can apply it to architecture, you can apply it to medicine, you can apply it to political science. And so then we begin to see how, and from an intelligent point of view, which then our mind and our senses are totally defeated because they know. And maybe some reaction from karma is still going on. You can't stop smoking right away, even though you understand everything else. But the karma is still going on, but very quickly, quickly he becomes righteous, a son of Kunti, and attains lasting peace. So the process, same thing being repeated again and again. Sometimes when I'm reading purports, I just kind of play the game. I ask myself, is there anything new in this purport? So yeah, the general sense is the basic thing. Basic ideas are there. But then, of course, the nuances and perspectives and the attitudes about who's presenting it, how they're presenting, those definitely change. And beyond that, yeah, there's almost always, maybe not always, a few new facts and more information comes out as we go on like that, things we didn't know. But of course, the main thing is it being repeated again and again, and that's so actually we'll understand it at a deeper and deeper level. And that's kind of our summary of this chapter and this we're talking about right now. Anybody else have any comments or any questions? Pretty basic concepts.
Just a moment, Maharaj. Can I just ask one quick question?
Yeah.
When you were doing the synonyms, you paused at the word for word.
Yeah.
You paused at pratyak, atmanam, and you said that's an interesting way to translate as the absolute truth, and you didn't give any explanation after that. I looked up pratyak, and some ways it's used as going the opposite direction or going towards the west, and also can mean looking inward. So, did you have any insight into that?
No, I don't. It's just that the word pratyak, anyway, it's a very kind of very specific word. Pratyaksha. Anumana.
You see that word in the verse, the Raja Vijaya verse, pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam shushkam kartam abhiyam. That means, looking in by direct perception within. Pratyaksha vagamam. By direct perception and realization within, that we're practically the realization, we can tell it's real. It's a very different nature from material realization.
Can I speculate on it then?
Why not? Let us speculate together. Somebody speculate.
Right. So pratyak is inner, and then atmanam is the self. So it's the self of the self, or the supreme self. How's that?
Part of the thing, too, is even in English, you can interpret things in so many different ways.
Okay.
Of course, also, when it says absolute truth, you can go from Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, Sambandhavideya, and Prayojana. You know, add those features in there that he realizes himself as part and parcel, non-different than the absolute truth, that because he has now his sambandha and his devotional service, which was diverse, that we just had, and then prayojana being the goal. You can add that. Would that fit in there as absolute truth then also? Pratyaksha atmana.
I don't know. I know you probably can see. I'm trying to like look it up here on the spoken Sanskrit day, but something's happening. It's not working.
Maharaj, what did you, off the wall question, but based on something you said, that you're talking about how busy you were, how busy the schedule was. It was filled with all this nectarian stuff. But then you said you needed some time for some fun. And I was wondering, what is an example of that fun that wasn't included within your already hectic, busy day of devotional service?
Yeah,
or maybe you were just joking. I'm not quite sure, but maybe...
Kind of joking, but it's just, again, because I'm not like... I don't know how to do devotional service perfectly yet. And so, you know... For example, Prabhupada said the senses, you know, the sense gratification, we have to take it like salt. You know, unless you take some salt in your diet, then your body's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
The senses, they do need some gratification. They do need to be paid the same way. So like, I can do like administrative work. You know, my nature is like, what is it, like a CPA partner or something. I mean, I've had big like professional people just really be amazed at how I'm able to like handle this analytical stuff and break it down and put it in categories. I'm timid too. That's something else. I'm not good at that. You know, as an only child or something. But so when the way it starts developing, and then people say, "Mars, can you take care of this? Can you do that? Everything else." Chandika Pandit says the tall straight trees are the first ones to get cut down. So better to look a little bit crooked once the material dealing. So if people see you can do stuff, and oh, it starts to get more and more sophisticated, you know, complicated. So we're trying to organize the Goloka Foundation. We're trying to organize the North American Institute for Orient and Classical Studies. We have to have the board of directors meetings. You know, we're trying to avoid paying $1,600 to get the tax exempt status. And I'm good at this, you know. And so then one thing after another, and then yesterday they want us to give classes in the morning. So enlivening, everybody comes online. Okay, so giving morning class, which is all about Ras Lila, and songs of the gopis. Then it's supposed to go over to the teacher training thing with all primary schools. I went in, basically it's all girls. It's all like young women. Because, they're teaching primary school. What do you expect? You know? So I'm there with Ram Giridhari, then maybe like 22-year-old girls. It's a sannyasi with 8 22-year-old girls. Very good, very intelligent, chase. Different. So they got to come up with a presentation because simultaneously they're professionals. You know? So we got to come up with a whole organized presentation where we're talking about introducing theater techniques and so on, the education, like that. Okay, then after that we had to meet with, get ready for the evening program. I had to find the projector and everything else and so on. So at some point, you see, you just want to play. You want to, it's sometimes in the beginning, devotional service is liberating. And if it's your karma yoga, it's stimulating. You know? But it may not necessarily be in the platform of ruchi or, you know, some kind of thing where you're actually seeing Krishna smile. Looking at the deities, Radhanila Madhava, it's a very big part. When I come here often. This is part of my so with Radhanila Madhava, I'm getting a lot of, you know, association with them. They're 6 feet tall. And so, yeah, I do see, like, you know, I'm really causing them problems sometimes, you know, by indulging in eating too much, too many gulabjams or something, that they have to take the reaction. Otherwise, I'll be annihilated and out of it, won't be able to serve and stuff. So I feel like that, you know. And so then that's where I get this deeper taste is there. But it's kind of like myself. I'm like, I can experience it, maybe other devotees too, but I'm not absorbed in it yet. You know? And so when you become absorbed in it, then you don't have to find the relief, you know, of tension some other place. Like, you know, maybe you have a play ping pong. Go play ping pong with Ramapada Swami for 15 minutes or something. You know? Yeah, and then afterwards, the problem is not at all like disturbed. Yeah, yeah. You go swimming, right? You know, go sailing, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. You know, things which are basically dovetailing our varna ashram situation with Krishna consciousness, and usually as a matter of relief of distress. And sometimes too, it's just so much management. You want something which is just not management. You want to go to poetry, art, beauty, and these kind of things. You know? So there is sometimes I'll be also be looking for those kind of things. Let me show you something here. Okay. Is that our PowerPoint? Okay. I'll show you the PowerPoint show we're using in the evening. Alt FC, save. And then I'm going to go Alt FR. And here it is. Okay. See if this works. Here it is. This is the PowerPoint show we're using in the evening for 3 nights. Okay, there's 4 chapters, and we're going over. It's actually divided in 2 modules, PDPP. And I pick out one verse, okay, for the first one, which is the meeting with the 4 Kumaras. And I'm just going to take that one verse and looking at it, you know. And that was it. The next one was Prithu Maharaj is going back home, back to Godhead. Okay. That was very analytical. You know? And so Prithu Maharaj's side of the thing was very analytical. He did that. Okay. But then we come to the point of the other side of the thing, which is, okay, the queen, the wife, Prithu Maharaj, whose name was Archie. Okay. Yeah. She had a whole different way of going back to Godhead. She was following her husband. She was engaging in all this yoga stuff by following him. And her satisfaction, though, was actually helping her husband and just feeling in her heart, wow, my husband does such an incredible yogi. And wow, you know. So she was experiencing it and going through it by following. So because of that, then we came up with this. Okay. Judy Collins. And the song, you can look on the YouTube here. And these are the two people, because we're talking about this Dharma and how to relate it to the West and that kind of stuff. So two people, which probably you know, two of them are Judy Collins and Joan Baez. They both begin with a J. And they had their problems in life. But they came through, and they've come through pretty much as winners in terms of, like, material perspectives. I don't think there's so much God conscious, but at least they're in the mode of passion. And even if you do that, you're dovetailing your female dharma in the mode of passion of following your husband, and if he's a devotee, even though you don't know it, then yeah, you're going to get the full benefit. So that this song is, you look it up, it's Someday Soon. And it's a very much of a romance song like that and stuff. But you can see it. I can see it in the Krishna conscious perspective and stuff. So it's very stimulating, you know. I will follow him right down the toughest road I know. That's a phrase where you hear it, it's really impressive. But yeah, this is, you know, woman's attitude. I will follow him right down the toughest road I know. So we added the rest in here. Then we have Judy Collins. Another one in terms of this, who's the greatest acharya for women? Mother Mary, of course, is there. You know? But other than that, Joan of Arc. You know? And Joan of Arc is a very interesting life. It's very Mark Twain, one of the biggest acharyas in Western culture, American culture. He did Joan of Arc. As far as he was concerned, it was far far better or more important than either Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer. And it's a good story. You know? And then I have it here somewhere here. Yeah, Lily Zobieski. Recently, they did a Joan of Arc. This is it. It's our culture. It's again and again and again. Two of them came out at the same time. One was a miniseries and one was a movie. And I think the movie one was a little bit more like, you know, maybe she was having these high experiences, but they weren't really spiritual. The one with Lily Zobieski was actually that God kept coming. But he kept coming as this beautiful light from the heavens and stuff, you know? Yeah. But it was very intense story. And especially if you're a woman. Here it is. The youngest person to ever lead a national army was a girl. So there's no, like, getting around it like, well, I'm just a girl, Prabhu. No. You know, girls can do the greatest things in Krishna consciousness too. How? Like I say, you have to be attached to the self-realized souls. So in the Western country, you can put on stories about Joan of Arc. You can have Joan Baez and people like that. And then people, they know this is something high. And they come, and that's when they get even a higher taste at that point. That's kind of what I'm talking about, that sometimes I just relax and listen to this kind of stuff. And I'm a little careful, but this is not completely purified. Like Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah. The word Hallel is from this Hillel house, place of worship, and Hallel. You know, it's a form of Hallel, which means to worship or praise collectively. And Jah is Jehovah. So basically we would translate it as Jai Narayan, or Jai Hari, Jai Hari, Jai Hari, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Shri Hari, Jai Shri Hari. Yeah. So Leonard Cohen's song Hallelujah, over 168 major artists have used it as a cover on one of their albums like that, the cover song. You know? And probably the most famous song in the history of the world. But again, the chorus is just Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And you see the artists, when they're performing it, they're alone with the holy name. And it's just, well, what am I? What am I going to do? Who am I? The actual lyrics in between are pretty, you know, mode of passion. Like that. But it's religion. It's religion and the mode of passion. And you can see, you know, it's better than religion and the mode of ignorance, which is just going through rituals. And we get caught up in that too. You know, again, I'm doing my administrative work. I'm doing my cooking work. I'm doing my pujari work. That's what I'm talking about. You're doing it, and then you miss out on the, like I say, the nectar and stuff. That's what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes myself, I'm not depurified, and so this section there, we get involved with other stuff, you know, taking a certain amount of salt for our senses, and remaining Krishna conscious. That's what we've done. So what I got to do now is I got to prepare for the last night here. And PowerPoint shows for me a real easy way to think. I organize my thoughts and stuff. So, any other comments, questions, or complaints, criticisms?
I hear silence.
Somewhere in the distance, a dog howls. going left to right. Who can you identify here?
Jayatirtha.
There's Jayatirtha. Where is he? He's hidden there. He's back over there. And this? Who's this?
Tripurari.
Tripurari Swami.
Tripurari Maharaj.
Sudama.
Sudama. This could be Narayan.
Yeah, Narayan.
Narayan. Guru Kripa Maharaj.
Guru Kripa, yeah. Srila Prabhupada.
The Bhaktidas?
Bhaktidas is over
on
here.
On the far right.
Oh. Rita Gosai.
Sukadev.
Yeah, Sukadev.
Now, it's interesting, you know, going through all this, who's still alive, where are they, and stuff. The actual picture is a little bit bigger. I think my hand is down in the corner.
Yeah. So who's playing the mridanga, whom I misidentified?
Bahudak.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Bahudak. Oh, okay. He looks smaller than Bahudak, but...
Looks smaller than Bahudak, I'd say, too. Yeah. I remember this picture. It's not my computer. There was a camera behind all this, the news media, and it shows Prabhupada chanting. In front of it, of course, there's thousands of people in front. When Prabhupada actually chanted and raised his hands like that, and to see this physical wave just going through the audience back, just moving back like that. Yeah. Okay, so I guess I want to thank everybody. And then now what's going to happen next, we have to meet with Shamasundar, our temple president, and Thakur, Sranga Thakur, head of the school board, and Ram Giridhari, the visiting school educator, and discuss the politics of education like that. So, well, thank you all very much. I guess it also just really fits into my week and giving me some kind of sane association here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Jai Guru Srila Prabhupada. Hari Om.
Knowledge of renunciation, ki jai.
All right.